Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, broadcasting live exclusively on BlogTalkRadio.com. You can get in contact with us here at the show at 760-283-0846 and follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BackSportsPage, as well as on Twitter at BackSportsPage. Now here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show with Sean going solo this evening. If you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846. And the reason I am in such a somber mood, and this is Sean this evening, is I would like to pronounce the end of what has been affectionately known as the Yankees, I guess you would call them a dynasty, over the last 20 years. At least what you thought was a dynasty. They haven't won a World Series in 4 years. Before that, they hadn't won one in about six. But since the beginning of the 1990s, they have been perpetually a playoff team. And what you saw in the past week with them going down to the Detroit Tigers may just be the end of what we know as the Yankees. And Seth and I have talked about this many a time. We have discussed the ramifications of Brian Cashman under the edict of Hal Steinbrenner to get down to $189 million, which is unfathomable for any other team, because no other team has ever had a payroll of $189 million by 2014. And when you look at what the Yankees have for the next couple of years, you're kind of like, how are they going to do that and keep a pennant-winning ball club, as Mr. Sterling likes to say? So, I am bidding adieu, the long farewell to the Yankees of what I view as my teens, my college years, and my law school years, and of my first 10 years in practice. Because after this year, I just don't see it happening. So, if you'd like to commiserate with the rest of the New York fans, 760-283-0846. Most Yankee fans thought that they would be in the World Series that's starting this week. But alas, that's not going to happen. We have two new faces in the World Series this year. The Detroit Tigers, who beat the Yankees, and the San Francisco Giants, who beat the team that nobody thought that would lose, because they were the media darlings, the St. Louis Cardinals. I have to say that this is not the World Series that Fox was looking for. It's not the World Series that Major League Baseball was looking for. Here you have Middle America, the Detroit Tigers, and San Francisco, the Bay Area. There is not a great media market. I believe San Francisco is number four. Detroit is probably in the 20s. You don't have a great media market there. You have the Triple Crown winner in Miguel Cabrera, and you have the comeback player of the year in Buster Posey, who came back from an incredible injury. If you saw last year, his leg being broken at the catching position. Probably one of the best all-around players in baseball, and you potentially have both MVPs. You also have the best pitcher in Major League Baseball in Justin Verlander on the Tigers. And you may have the best pitching staff in the National League with the San Francisco Giants, with Matt King, Tim Lincecum, Ryan Vondersloong, and Barry Zito. But the Giants are going to have some problems. And this is my World Series preview, if you will, here at the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. So if you'd like to call in, again, 760-283-0846. We're looking for callers today because, honestly, this is an, I have 55 more minutes to carry this show, and I'm not sure I have a voice for 55 minutes. But we'll try it out. I haven't done this in about 20 years. 20 years ago, I held my first radio gig more than 20 years. No, about 20 years ago. I was 16 years old for WKWZ out of Syosset, Long Island. And in fact, I met one of our esteemed alum, Joni Tock, at a mixer a couple of days ago, and we reminisced. We hosted a show together last year, in our last life in high school. So here we are. The last time I did an hour by myself was then. So we're going to try another 55 minutes all by myself. And again, if you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846. We are taking callers at any point on anything. But the Yankees. Let's go back to the Yankees. The Yankees are in a lot of trouble. Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't going to talk about the Yankees. We're going to talk about the World Series. We'll get back to the Yankees. And the World Series pits the two teams. And we'll see what happens because Justin Verlander is going to pitch game one. He will probably pitch game four. He might pitch game seven in what Justin Verlander is from another dimension as far as what starters come today. When you talk about a true number one is somebody that gets out, that gets 200 innings a year, who pitches lights out, who will take the ball when necessary. And Justin Verlander does that. I can think of a couple of more players, a couple more pitchers that are like that. One is on the Giants. Matt Cain does it. Chris Carpenter did it until he got hurt. We have Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee, two number ones on the Philadelphia Phillies, and you're kind of wondering how they didn't get to where they were. Jared Weaver in Anaheim is another number one. But Verlander's the best pitcher in baseball, hands down to me. He should win another Cy Young. He won't win the MVP because probably Miguel Cabrera will win the MVP. And when Seth and I did our baseball preview in the April time frame, we did think that the Tigers would make the playoffs. We didn't think that they would go further than where they are further than the championship series. We both had them knocked out in the championship series, but here they are. We knew that they had some pitching. We knew that they had the bats, at least two of the bats. And Fielder and Cabrera are the best 3-4 hitter in baseball. Next year they bring in Victor Martinez. They have Omar Infante. They have a good, good quality lineup. I wouldn't call it a great lineup, but you know the best thing about that is neither does San Francisco. San Francisco has Hunter Pence, who has basically decided to take a vacation during the playoffs. They have the MVP in Buster Posey, as far as I'm concerned, who is a throwback. He is a catcher that plays 140 games, and he is the best hitter on that team. They have Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval, who I absolutely love, and he's at third base. They have Mario Scudero, and he's their shortstop, their spark plug. What I do find interesting, and all the pundits tend to do this, is they go, well, at first base, we have Miguel Cabrera, and we have Aubrey Huff and Brandon Belt, so that's a win for Detroit. And then at second base, we have this, and then at shortstop, we have this, and then at third base, we have this. That's not how baseball is won. You might be able to do that in basketball with only five players, and they are so dependent on getting the ball. You may be able to do that in football, but you would have to match up offense versus defense to see where that goes. Hockey, same difference. You got the forwards, the defensemen, the power play. You can really cut it into specific places. Baseball, I'm thinking that's not really the way that you can do this. Baseball is a little different. Baseball is a team game. I think football is a team game too, but excuse me. And that's what happens when you talk. So we're going to take a little break here. a little commercial break for me to get my lungs back in the next 10 minutes. So I will leave you with a little bit of baseball. That didn't exactly work the way that I wanted it. I was really looking for some intro music in order to go a little further, but it didn't work out. Baseball's not like any other sport, and you really have a team mentality. You may have a pitching staff versus a hitting, and if I had to pick this series, now it starts to play in Pac-Bell Stadium, AT&T Park, whatever they want to call it at this point, in San Francisco. Both parks, both Comerica and Pac-Bell, or AT&T, are pitcher's parks. So that plays to the pitching staff, which is good because neither one of these teams really has that great of a lineup. So we'll see what happens there. But if I was going to pick a winner, I will pick Detroit, winning in 6 games, going back to Pac-Bell, or AT&T, or whatever you want to call it, and winning on the field of the opponent, and going 4-2. So that is my World Series prediction here at the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Station, or radio show. And so I'm going to take a little sip of water and see what I can do for the next 20 minutes. Or we may just knock this down to a half hour. We'll see what the pundits say. Other stuff that's gone on in Major League Baseball, there was a big trade. Actually, there were 2 things that happened. First of all, today, Ozzie Guillen got fired. And what the interesting thing about Ozzie Guillen getting fired was, so Ozzie Guillen is a controversial manager of the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins now. And he made some insensitive remarks saying that he was pro-Castro, Fidel Castro, earlier on in the season. Well, that didn't really hit well with the Miami Marlins, who brought him in to be a positive influence on the players, positive influence on the community. Community in Miami really is not pro-Castro by any stretch of the imagination. So he started off on the wrong foot. And now the Marlins have decided to eat three more years of his contract for $7.5 million. Now, for a frugal organization such as the Marlins, that seems like a big contract to eat. But I really think that they had to do that. First of all, I think Ozzie Guillen will get another managerial position. And if he does, then you have what's called a set-off. And that money will go against what Miami will owe Ozzie Guillen. Second of all, they needed to start over. They had all these big free agent contracts earlier on in the year. They signed Hanley Ramirez to a big contract extension. They signed Jose Reyes, they signed Mark Burley, all to big contracts, and they signed Heath Bell. And Heath Bell was a disaster. He has an over 5 ERA as a closer for the Miami Marlins. And they were able to get rid of his 3-year, $21 million contract this week. I'm sorry, 3-year, $39 million contract this week by sending him off to the Arizona Diamondbacks in a 3-way deal. Chris Young goes to Oakland, a prospect goes back to Miami in a pure salary dump, and Heath Bell goes over to Arizona. And Arizona is funny in that they have Kevin Towers as their GM. Kevin Towers is the one that found Heath Bell out of the Mets organization, and he has a reputation for building very low-cost bullpens. Well, the Arizona Diamondbacks re-signed J.J. Poots, to a $6.5 million option. And then got Heath Bell for another $6 or so million, because Miami's going to pay some of that contract. So you're paying $12 million to two guys in what should be an $80 to $90 million payroll. Kind of makes me wondering what's going on there in San Diego. Oakland makes out great. They get Chris Young for Cliff Pennington. Cliff Pennington, a backup shortstop. He's going to go over to Arizona. And Chris Young, who is not a great player, he bats about 240, but he does have some major power, and he is a good defensive player. He's going to go to Oakland. Now, Oakland has four quality defensive outfielders with Josh Reddick, Coco Crisp, Yvonis Zapatis, and now Chris Young for three slots. And they also have Seth Smith as the DH. So they have a good amount of quality outfielders. He's on a one-year, $8 million contract with an $11 million option that will probably not be picked up. But it's a good low-risk buy for them. They did not need Pennington. They will probably re-sign Stephen Drew because of this. Drew with a $10 million option. And they're increasing salary a little bit. They do get some cash in the deal. But overall, a three-way trade in the middle of the World Series is, or the middle of the playoffs, not exactly a common occurrence. I was a little taken aback that Buck Hield would allow that. Generally, he doesn't allow trades or managerial moves during the World Series to be announced. So I think that's why you saw Ozzie Guillen being fired today instead of tomorrow. Just a very, very interesting way that the Baseball Hot Stove League has already started before the World Series has started. Okay, so we've gotten baseball through. Let's talk a little about the NFL. Again, if you have any questions or have any comments, please give me a call at 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. This is the Seth and Sean show. Seth and Sean show. And you know, the funny thing is, I don't have the levity, I don't have the enthusiasm for today because I'm trying to do this all myself. I'm trying not to fall asleep like Mike Francesa did on WFAN when he was on 3 hours sleep, the same way I am. And at the same time, I'm trying to keep the momentum going, pacing around the apartment, looking outside, sometimes glancing at the clock. I won't lie to you. I'm seeing I got about 43 minutes left to go in this broadcast. I'm wondering if I'm going to chop it down to a half hour. I don't know. I probably will. I'll be honest with you. There's not a whole lot to talk about, a whole lot of – I went through the World Series. There's not a whole lot going on this week. We will have our NBA preview next week, so that will be a two-hour show. Or an hour and a half to two-hour show. We'll decide. Please get your votes in for Seth's new basketball team, which – honestly, between you, me, and the left post, I hope it's the Milwaukee Bucks, because Seth would look good in a little bit of purple and green. That's all I got to say on that. So, going into football. So I went to the Giants game this past weekend, had a great time. Eight rows back, some great company. My friend Blair, her fiance Kevin, friend of mine came. We had a great time. And, you know, Kevin and I were talking about how this stadium compares to the old stadium at Giant and Yankee Stadium compares to the old Yankee Stadium. It does lose a little bit of its mystique, but you do understand how nice it is. It really is nice. And so the Giants, you know, it's funny. Rodney Harrison said on the air this week that Eli Manning is the best quarterback in the NFL. That's some pretty strong stuff. I'm not really sure he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but he is in the top three. There's no doubt in my mind. After seeing what he did, he had an awful game. He looked like he was throwing – he looked like he was colorblind. He looked like Vinny Testaverde in the Orange Bowl against Penn State where he threw six interceptions. He made some of those throws where you raised both your hands and said, what? Where was he throwing that? And at the end of the game, when they needed it most, he throws a brilliant pass to Victor Cruz for 77-yard touchdown and wins the game. So kudos to Eli. Kudos. the Panthers, while we're talking, we're on the NFC East. The Panthers lost to, who dropped to 1-6, lost to the Cowboys. I'm sorry, 1-5. Lost to the Cowboys, who showed they were pretty good for one game. Mark Huntley, the GM of Carolina, lost his job this morning because of that start. They're just not a very good team. They really don't have an identity. They signed their two-star running backs, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, to big deals, and yet they don't run the ball. They have Cam Newton. That's a Stewart. Cam Stewart plays in the NHL. Cam Newton, who is a running/throwing quarterback, and he has lost a lot of the luster. It all starts in the line, which they don't really have one. So he lost his job this week. Actually, this week. He lost his job yesterday. Really, really bad. So, and then we have the Eagles, who are on a bye week. And we have the Redskins, who lost their Giants. That would be the NFC East. Going over to the NFC South. Yeah, I do want to look over the games because it was a good week in football anyway. The NFC South. The Falcons were on a bye. The Buccaneers had everything going for them against the Saints. They were up 14-7 in the first quarter and then just got throttled. They lost 35-28. Josh Freeman threw for 420 yards and three touchdowns, only to be matched by Drew Brees' four touchdowns and 377 yards. It was a clinic. The ball was being thrown all over the place. And, you know, the funny thing is the Bucs could have won this game. Mike Williams, ex-SU wide receiver, not an SU alum, did not graduate, was pushed out of the end zone on the final play, came back in for an illegal touching. So, basically, Brees led them to the finals. We had the Panthers, as I said before, lost 19-14 in the NFC South. And I believe that was it for the NFC South this week. The NFC West showdown on Thursday night, the Seahawks went into San Francisco, and San Francisco basically just ran all over them. 131 yards on the ground for Frank Gore, held Russell Wilson 9 of 23 for 122 yards. Frank Gore also led the 49ers in receiving with 51 yards. Alex Smith in modest 14 for 23, 140 yards and a score. But the defense just held the Seahawks to nothing. Two field goals, both in the first half. This game was definitely well out of reach, even though the 49ers basically walked all over the Seahawks, although the score is not indicative of that whatsoever. But more importantly, the Seahawks could not catch the ball. They had three open passes, couldn't catch the ball. They all would have been touchdowns. Shame. Shame on you. So going forward, the rest of the West, the Cardinals lost to the Vikings 21-14. Christian Ponder, 58 yards, and they won. 58 yards, and they won. Unbelievable. 58 yards, and they won. Adrian Peterson has, again, proved to be the bionic man, 23 carries for 153 yards and a touchdown. So the Vikings moved to 5-2. The Cardinals are 4-3. And who would have ever thought the Vikings would be 5-2? In seven games. Just unbelievable. So, and the rest of the NFC West, there is none. The NFC North, the Packers won. They beat the, Packers beat the Rams 30-20 in the game that wasn't as close as it indicates. It was 10-6 at halftime. Rodgers scored another touchdown in the third. He went 30 for 37. That's unbelievable. 342 yards and three scores. Sam Bradford tried to match it, 255 and one score. The rest of the NFC North has the Vikings, as we said, beating the Cardinals 21-14. and the Lions lost to the Bears last night, and the Bears throttled them. I mean, that was definitely the game was out of reach in the first half. Detroit going and Matt Stafford seems to have lost his way and is not throwing to Calvin Johnson, and that's inherently a very big problem. Going to the AFC, we'll go to the AFC West first, where the Raiders won 26-23 in overtime over the Jaguars. Jaguars are 1-5. The Raiders are 2-4. That may be the one thing, the one team that I overestimated, which was the Raiders. They're 2-1 at home, but 2-4 overall. So the rest of the West, Kansas City had a bye this week. I believe the rest of the West had a bye this week. Denver had a bye this week. The AFC North Steelers over the Bengals in a sloppy Sunday night game, which the Bengals literally gave away. The Texans beat the Ravens 43-13 to basically cement their dominance in this conference. They are 6-1. The Ravens are 5-2, but looked really bad at 5-2. Joe Flacco in a big game, 21-43 for 147 yards and a score. Not going to do it. Ray Rice, 9 carries, only touched the ball 16 times. Again, not going to do it. Matt Schaub, 23-37, 256 and 2 scores. Arian Foster, 19 for 98 yards and 2 scores. And Andre Johnson, welcome back, 9 catches for 86 yards and did not score. Going, the Browns lost to the Colts, 17-13. And Browns fans, you can't even run on the Colts. Mario Hardesty, 7 carries for 28 yards, their leading rusher after Sean Green pummeled them for 161 yards 2 weeks ago. Brandon Wheaton, 25 for 41 for 264 and 2 scores. Vic Ballard, 20 for 64. Andrew Luck, 16 for 29, 186 yards. And Reggie Wayne, who has, for some reason, forgotten that time catches up to you. 6 catches or 73 yards. The AFC East, Miami was on a bye. Buffalo lost to Tennessee in the most entertaining game of the year, perhaps. No defense played in this game, 35-34. Matt Hasselbeck, 22-33 for 205. Brian Fitzpatrick, 27-35 for 225. 3 touchdowns for Fitzpatrick, 1 touchdown for Hasselbeck. Welcome back, CJ2K. 18 carries for 195 yards and 2 scores. And then the Jets and the Patriots. Oh, Jets fans, including myself, we thought we might have had one. We thought we might have got one. Mark Sanchez, 28 for 41, 328. Jeremy Curley, 7 catches for 120 yards. And all that mattered was Stephen Hill dropped the ball. Stephen Hill dropped the ball. And honestly, when you drop the ball like that, you're going to lose. The Jets really shouldn't have been in the game. And the Pats won in overtime, 29-26, and broke my heart. But the Jets play against Miami this week, when I thought they were off, but they play against Miami this week. They have a bye week next week. We'll see how they come out. We do pick every week our games, the 3 games. So we have the Buccaneers and the Vikings. I'm going to take in Minnesota, at the Thursday night game. I can't see anybody going into Minnesota on a Thursday night winning that game. So I'm going to take Minnesota with the points. The Sunday night game is the Saints visiting the Broncos in what could be a huge game for Drew Brees. And the Saints. This is the return of Joe Vitt from a suspension, 6-game suspension. We'll see what happens. I mean, they go into Invesco Field, or I think it's Sports Authority Field now in Denver. That's one of the hardest places to play. The Monday night game, an NFC West showdown of the 49ers going into Arizona. Arizona losing their last 3 games. 49ers hopefully will not see past this game. I'm going to take the 49ers.
We're going to go a half hour today because we have the NBA preview next week. So it's 7:30, and we haven't gotten a call yet, and that's a little unfortunate, as you had the whole entire night to call in. We'll talk more about the boxing matches that Seth and I went to last week at Barclays Center, the opening of the Barclays Center for title fights, the first fights in 81 years. We'll talk about the NBA next week. We might have a World Series winner, so we'll definitely touch upon that, but most of it will be the NBA preview. The week after that, we're going to have the college basketball preview with Josh Swade and whatnot. For Sean Palmer, I am Sean Palmer. So for Seth Kamens, who is in Antigua and getting a whole lot of sun, this is Sean Palmer. Thanks very much for joining for the abbreviated Seth and Sean program.